You are now tuned in to Mastering Mitzvahs.
Mastering Mitzvahs.
A podcast focused on creating the perfect bar and bat mitzvah celebration, offering tips, tricks, and trends to ensure an amazing event. Mastering Mitzvahs. From New Jersey's own Explosive Entertainment.
Explosive Entertainment.
I know you're gonna dig this.
And here they are, your hosts, Dylan Weissman and Mike Langser.
Hey now.
Watched the game last night?
Yeah, I was rooting for Taylor Swift the whole time.
You're not even a Taylor Swift fan.
I am more of a Taylor Swift fan than I am a 49ers or Chiefs fan.
Okay. I actually watched the game. For a guy that's not a sports guy, I watched the game and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I liked it. I'm really excited that Usher's music will be popular for a couple weeks at events.
I thought he nailed it. I know it's always controversial after the Super Bowl. I thought there were just so many incredible songs, one after another, and like it kind of pays a testament to like the quick mixing that we're doing at parties. Like, you know, he had how many minutes is the Super Bowl performance? Like 6, 7?
No, I think it's a little bit longer than that. But yeah, it's really short. It's maybe 12 minutes, 14 minutes.
And he probably had 12 songs or so in that amount of time.
Yeah, really, he moved fast. It was great.
Brought in some superstars with him too, which were nice welcome surprises.
Yeah, Alicia Keys was my favorite part about that show.
Rocking out on the piano, absolutely.
It was great. It was great. That was the NFL Super Bowl. We had a Super Bowl of our very own. We are fresh off of our Super Bowl showcase that happened yesterday. So today is the 12th of February. Yesterday was the 11th of February, and we had our Super Bowl showcase at B'nai Tikva. And it was a great time. It was a great time.
I feel like we should be walking around with trophies and Super Bowl rings after this one.
Instead, I'm walking around with like ice packs on my feet. Advil.
That's the behind the scenes that people don't see. We both gigged the night before, you know, done at midnight, you know, back somewhere sleeping at 1 o'clock or so in the morning, not actually our respective homes, but, you know, somewhere so we could be closer to B'nai Tikva for a nice 8 a.m. start to get the showcase all built up and set.
And it was awesome. It was so worth it. You know, and the word that I can describe on this is pride. I had so much pride in what we did yesterday, and I'm excited to share a little bit of what we accomplished. I think
I have to ask you a question. This is one of my favorite things about these podcasts is that they're not scripted and we hardly have much of a plan going into it. But did you think it was a big blur, or like, were you very immersed in the experience as it was happening?
Can both be the case?
I'd say yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think both the case. I don't think that they're mutually exclusive. I think that it was a blur when you consider the whole show, but I was so in tune with like everything that was happening in that moment, like the people I was talking to, the kids that were coming through the door talking about their event. Like, it was so one-on-one and real in the moment. And you could tell that the families that came were excited about getting their event planning started, or, you know, their event is right around the corner. They're looking for that next, you know, that thing that puts them over the edge for excitement. So it was, the energy was great. And that's what made it a blur. But I think I was really in the moment.
Here's why I asked that. There's certain things that, like, Mike P every year does a split. Like, it's the once a year Mike P runs out of the crowd, jumps and does a split. And I was like, I don't know if that happened. Like, did I just miss it? I actually had to send him a text and ask, like, did that in fact happen? And the games and stations that we had at the furthest possible part of the room, which I know were so busy, like every time I looked over, there was a crowd. I never really got over there, Dylan. Like, I can't say that I spent any time there, because I felt like every time I got close to that, I got pulled in another direction, all for the right reasons. It was so good. But like, I can't wait to see the pictures and the video so I could like really experience what I missed on that side of the space.
It's kind of like what we say to our families that we work with is like, yeah, it's going to happen fast. So enjoy every moment of it. I feel like we have to now look back at the photo and video to remember what we did.
That's a good point. Yeah. We experience it as if we were hosts of our own event. So Pretty cool. Let's kind of like attack this thing one step at a time. This is just a free flowing conversation for those who are watching. You know, Dylan and I have hardly had a chance to even recap, so we're just going to kind of do it out loud here. But let's just talk, you know, like one thing at a time, like the arrival, the cocktail hour, the sign in, like what were your thoughts of, you know, that whole feeling walking into B'nai Tikva?
Well, I think that it was the feeling was inclusive. It was like you were walking into a family affair. It was a room full of strangers, but you were walking into a family affair. You were greeted by, you know, friendly faces, excited tones, music that you recognized. And right off the bat, I think you felt like you were in for something special. And I think that the enhancements in the very, very first touch point were great. I mean, we had the cocktail room full of all of classical caterers' food. And then NRG was playing their acoustic sets. And then as you make your way towards the main room, you had a boba tea station and you had Justin Titus, our very own Justin Titus, playing, you know, an acoustic guitar rendition of all of your favorite pop songs. Like, I feel like everywhere you looked in that entryway of B'nai Tikva was something that you could be excited about.
Absolutely. And let's paint the picture. It was one of the nicest days we've had all winter. I mean, it was almost 60 degrees and still a little gloomy, but that just seems to be the way winters in New Jersey are. But it was just, the feeling was electric when you walked in and you used the word pride. I think you could see that amongst the team just across the, there were smiles on our team ear to ear. Everybody was proud to be there.
Yeah.
And I think the food and beverage really went over well. People really enjoyed that cocktail hour time. On that side of the space, once they got some food in them, they made their way into the main room where we still had a cocktail hour going, but that's where we had 8 to 10 of our favorite vendors, photo booths, games, activities, and I think the kids walked in like it was Disneyland. Like, you know, they had so much opportunity to play games and win prizes and participate without having to swipe a credit card. It was cool.
Yeah. So as you entered the main room, I think that greeted by a bunch of vendors who are pros in what they do was a nice feel. It allowed them to really connect with new vendors, the guests that were there, connect with new vendors, see familiar faces, and chat with them about their wants and needs. And I think that when you put a room full of people who really care and are good at what they do, the conversations are easy. And I think that that's what made it feel different than other showcases we've been a part of. Sometimes it feels like speed dating. Sometimes it feels like, you know, you're interviewing on the spot 60 seconds at a time, like elevator pitch style. I don't think that was the case at the Super Bowl showcase that we hosted. I think it felt more like a family reunion that just happened to have a bunch of really cool games and people there.
Yeah. I noticed the adults, it worked out perfectly. It worked out as intended, but the adults spent the time talking to the vendors or our own staff while the kids were preoccupied safely playing games, you know, an arm's length away, or enjoying the photo booths or just hanging out with our dancers. And let's talk about photo booth for a second, because I loved the locker photo booth station that we had mocked up. And this was like an element of, let's take different things that we've done before, put it all together and unveil a new photo station. And the response was outrageous. Do you want to describe it to the listeners?
Yeah. I mean, so first of all, it was done. It was a brainchild of what do we have in our warehouse that can be utilized differently? What can we get creative with? And so we rolled out, you know, a faux turf style, you know, carpet that laid down. And then on either side, it was a 3-wall enclosure. So it was wrapped in, you know, a white banner. And then there were two or three, you know, what was it? 6-foot tall athletic lockers painted all white. And then a stadium style bench right in front. So it looked like you were walking into a themed out locker room. You know, it reminded me of some of the videos that you see where like your favorite college athlete is getting ready to sign with their pro team and they're doing it in the locker room of their college. It kind of felt like that, because you were walking into like a locker room style experience with the right benches and the right theming around you. I loved it. And then as I started talking to families with that photo station, they were like, well, could we make it all New York Giants, or can we make it all, you know, Penn State Nittany Lion? Can we make it all, you know, graffiti out for our theme of, you know, urban industrial? The answer was yes. And it came from just the fact that it was a creative space.
That was my favorite part of putting that together, was each element can survive by itself independently.
Right.
Or be used in different combinations. I mean, when we were trying to think of like the price point of it, there was even, well, what if we did this type of floor or that type of wall, or, you know, there were so many different iterations. And I think that holds true. Let's jump over to our hat station and our beauty bars. Both of them are so customizable to the family and to their needs and their wants. The hat station was something that I know I saw a lot of interest in, where we had two attendants with a heat press machine, literally pressing patches. Guests came over, they chose which patch or which, you know, it was, you know, names of bands, different sports teams. They choose which one they want. They choose what color, you know, in this case, we did beanie hats, but you could do like trucker hats or snapbacks. And they were leaving with these freshly made hats that were unique to them.
Right.
And everything about that station too is customizable, from the branding to the layout. It all just depends on what fits in the venue and what fits with the theme.
Yeah. And we can kind of go line by line and say all that about all of the different stations that we had. I know that my daughter, my 3-year-old daughter, was obsessed with the Bling Beauty Bar. I mean, it was like a fight getting her to take that stuff off at night for bedtime. And we can go line by line and say, like, listen, there was a basketball game. And when you see one basketball game, you've seen them all. Well, that just doesn't hold true, because the presentation of how to shoot hoops with the white basketball madness that we had there was so special. And it was more than just a functionality of a game. It was what's going to look great in your room. And I loved that. I love that about our showcase. You know, and the enhancements were just gravy, because what I was talking to a family earlier today who was really concerned about maybe adding one or two of these elements from the showcase, because they were afraid that guests weren't going to be on the dance floor or dancing. And I said, listen to this carefully. We had our performance showcase that was going on with a bunch of strangers, 250, 60, 70 strangers. You didn't know anyone there, but everyone was on the dance floor while all of these games existed in the same room during the performance. And it made me realize that it doesn't matter if it's a bunch of strangers or a bunch of friends. If you want the dance floor to be popping, it will be. And I really, really like that. So I think that's a good segue into talking about the feature of the Super Bowl showcase, which was the mock mitzvah performance. Why don't you break it down?
So let's first say there's a reason why we do this. Clients always want to see the performers, and you know, they're often asking, hey, can I come to an event and see your staff? And the answer is no, we really can't invite you to somebody else's party. It wouldn't be fair to them. And it's kind of a distraction to us if we're there to perform. Even though you say, hey, I don't really need your attention, we're still going to want to come out and greet you and explain what you're looking at. And it's just not ideal. So at this showcase, the once a year that we do this, we get all of our MCs to perform side by side. And, you know, whenever do you get to do that, like Coke versus Pepsi style comparison? And that's really what it is. You get to see all the different performers in a matter of 30 minutes, each get, you know, 2, 3, 4 minutes to choose a song and perform it and show their personality and show their style. And with such purposeful intent, we have a different team. Not every single person looks the same, acts the same, dresses the same, speaks the same. And you could see that from their performance. And while I believe they're all excellent in their own rights, when you're there and you see it happen in real time, you decide who fits with your family the best. Or maybe you decide, hey, I like them all. And that's cool too, because you kind of give us an advantage to do what we call an open-ended booking. And that even saves you money. So the timeline of this performance, I thought, worked great. We started with a Kahoot game that is something that we do live at parties. And it was so well participated. I think, did you count how many people? I think it was 67, or was it 84 participants? Somewhere in that vicinity.
It was, yeah, it was over 80. Yeah, it was great. I could get you the data, but it was great.
That was like, I just watched everybody play, and they got to meet Jamie. They got to see me do it. And, you know, they got to see how the technology can be used on the big video wall, as well as, you know, singular screens. I thought it was great for people to see and feel that. Then we had our mentalist do a live performance, and he blows everybody's mind. You know, David just... how he does what he does is incredible.
All right, so I gotta tell you, like, so we're laying in bed last night, like 1 a.m, me and Z, and she goes, everything's quiet, and she goes, Dylan, I gotta ask you, how the hell did he do that? He's like, you gotta ask him, like, you know him, right? I'm like, yeah. He's like, how did he do that? He wasn't anywhere near. And she just went on and on about like the magic performance that took place. And like, I'm like, Z, I don't know what to tell you, man. She's great.
A magician will never tell his or her secrets. But that was fantastic. And then we went live, and then that this is where that side-by-side comparison of the MCs went. And you know, we call it a mock mitzvah because we do our performance as if it were a mitzvah in the order that it would be. And there was a grand entrance into a dance set, into a hora, into another dance set. We briefly explained, you know, normally would be dinner, toast, montage, and then we get back up and dance. And then there was a stellar two-song dance conclusion to show two different styles of the way a party could end. Jared came up and did Journey, Don't Stop Believing, which is a great song for the last hour of the night. But we also had Nick do his like Jersey Shore fist pump, you know, EDM set with the black lights and the CO2, which is another great and polar different way to end a party.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, I gave it to the recap in the MCs in the thank you letter to them this morning. And I said, what made me so excited about this was the first time that I felt like it wasn't carbon copy of one style. You saw so many different MCs, the way that they look, the way that they dress, the way that they act, the way that they speak, the way that they perform. And the result was always the same. It was a great energy, a great feel on the dance floor. And that's what you kind of want from a firm. Like when you're hiring an entertainment company, like, how deep does it go? And can they provide me with the style that I want? There was really a flavor for everybody there. You wanted polished, poised, professional, you know, eloquent and able to tell a story. We got that for you. You want wild, crazy that can, you know, spin on their head. We got that for you. And it was kind of like, it was easy for a family to say, this is what I like and this is what I don't like about certain people. And it was allowing us to say, then you really should be looking at this or that.
Yeah. I wouldn't change anything about the performance. I know we both agree on that. We both love being at B'nai Tikva. The facility is so perfect. And they run such a great show. They run such a great ship. And you know, I was fortunate enough to work there the night before, and it's always seamless, you know. So let's you know, give a big shout out to Evan at Classical Caterers and B'nai Tikva. For the timeliness of this podcast, I don't want to mention what his special is, but if you're interested in booking there, he's definitely got a very cool incentive. So reach out to him if you're looking for a venue. And as a matter of fact, Dylan, he said he's redoing the floors today. I don't know if that was even mentioned, but the tile dance floor is getting removed and it's going to be a nice like white marble slate type of dance floor. So, always reinvesting in the space.
That's nice. When you have a vendor that cares about elevating the space, you know, time after time, it makes you know that these are the people that you want at your party because they're going to continue to just serve you.
You know, also let's add to that. He and his team embraced what we did. You know, the night before we came in with this huge setup, and while some venues might look at us like, are you guys crazy? We're going to be here all night. Why are you doing this? They were excited. They couldn't wait to see us building out this monstrosity of a setup. And, you know, we had a gigantic video wall, and then we brought in staging to elevate the DJ behind it. You know, so Evan, the DJ, was elevated over top of the video wall, and for the venue to embrace it and, you know, say how cool it was, is so awesome. I mean, how many times have you walked into a venue and like, they look at you and you're just bringing speakers and a facade. They're like, why do you have so much stuff? You know, like this right. Was the polar opposite.
Right.
And you know, again, to see that and feel that and the synergy, it's for real.
Yeah, it's definitely real. And they did such a nice job, and we're thankful to have been a part of it. So some of the things that stood out for me, Mike, is that it was a room full of strangers. I mentioned it earlier, but it was a room full of strangers. And if you could have fun with a room full of strangers, just imagine what you can do when you have the right attitude with the right people at a room full of your most amazing loved ones. Like, I think that was so, impactful for me. And like, when you take a step back and realize you just threw a party for 275 people celebrating a bat mitzvah girl they don't know, like it was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, on to next year, right? We'll do it again. You know, we always wonder, traditionally these are always on Super Bowl Sunday. I don't know if there's a better day. You know, some people say, why are you doing Super Bowl Sunday? We make a promise to get you home before the game. And we definitely uphold to that promise. I don't know if there's ever a better weekend. I mean, there's always obligations and things that everybody has to do. So as far as I'm concerned, we'll see you next Super Bowl Sunday, unless there's other changes. Dylan, did you have any other final, like, favorite moments or standout items?
Well, the fact that the Boba Tea Station sold out, I mean, it's not like it was for sale, but like the fact that the Boba Tea Station had enough materials to satisfy like whatever it was, 400 guests, and there wasn't 400 guests there, but people were so excited about it, they kept coming back for more. And I think that that is going to be a shining star this season, is a create your own Boba Tea Station. That was something that really stood out to me.
I agree. I felt like every kid was walking around with the cup of, you know, Boba Tea or bubble tea. I think the terms are interchangeable. That was so cool. I said before the locker station, but we had another photo station that was very basic. And I want to like give credit to this. We had a very basic photo station with full intent. It was our standard photo booth with a standard backdrop. And we had Dory from Total Party just do a nice elegant balloon arrangement around it. And it took a very basic standard photo booth and turned it into something so trendy and so cool. And it was very girly. It was very now. It was very TikTok or Instagram worthy. And I think, you know, credit should be given to that, that like balloons are back if they're done in the right way.
Yeah, there's tasteful balloons and then there's cheap looking balloons.
Yeah.
I agree. That's something I hadn't thought about, is like balloons are coming back.
They are. And again, it's got to be done right. But to think that on one side of the room was this masculine locker room photo station, and on the other side of this room was this pretty girly balloon Instagram worthy photo station. It was just, you know, both worked.
Right.
And let's also just quickly mention, you know, we had our roving ring roamer photo station, and then we had social zaps, which is one of our favorite features. So we gave clients four different photo booth
options, yeah,
options or activations to consider. And you know, just like the performers, it's not every choice is right for every family, so we wanted to put that out there.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. And the fact that the families that were there benefited from a test drive, they got to see what they loved and see what they didn't love. And sometimes that's just so much more valuable than just guessing. I loved it.
Yeah, man. So I think it's time to wrap this one up. And I think you and I got plenty of paperwork and lots of emails to attend to, but we wanted to get this podcast out here. Today is Monday, February 12th, literally like 24 hours ago. Right now we were
ending,
taking a deep breath and like, wow, you know, and it's time to recover. Enjoy a Monday and back in the office tomorrow.
Yep. So keep your eyes peeled. We'll be posting our video recap very, very soon. And you'll be able to take a quick look at all of the fun things that had happened at the showcase, what you missed and what you want to relive. So keep it at XE Events locked in, and we'll see you guys soon.
Take care.